Hello. Well, here I am in my study again. We're with the moving the services onto the live stream there on Facebook. We've had some mistakes in thinking that we were recording the sermon at the same time for posting here on the web page, and it turns out that it was not being recorded. Hopefully get that worked out. But in the meantime, I just come in here and re-record it for the website. So we are in the middle of a series on the disciplines of the Christian life, the spiritual disciplines. And what are disciplines, right? We dealt with that kind of at length in the first sermon of this series. And there we said that it begins with a disciple, okay? A disciple is one who wants not just to learn something, but wants to actually become like the master, in our case, Jesus. And then the process of change, the process of training to become like someone, that's what we call discipleship. And then the disciplines are the actual activities, the actual exercises that make up the gradual process of discipleship. So a discipline is something that we do in order to become like Jesus. And that, of course, raises the very, for lack of a better word, funny point that we know that being like Jesus is an impossible task, right? It's not for no reason that 2,000 years later, everybody still remembers him and what he did. Being like Jesus, on the face of it, is a ludicrous goal, okay? And we know that we're unable to make that big of a change in ourselves. But we also know that if this is what God wants to do, then he can do it. And so, central always to the idea of discipleship is that the work of transforming us into the image of Jesus is God's work. If he doesn't do it, it can't be done. It's not something that we can do apart from him. It's not something that he can tell us what to do and we go do it. Okay? He's going to do that work. But then many people want to just leave it there. If it's God's work, then it's not my work. If I can't do it, then I don't do anything. If God wants to change me, let him do it. But the reality is that God is so serious about this whole relationship thing. He's so serious about wanting us with him and doing life together with him and involved in the wonderful stuff that he's doing that he wants us to be involved in our discipleship, even if we can't do it. Okay? It's his work, but he wants us to be involved in his work. Which brings us to our working definition of a disciple, of a discipline, excuse me. A discipline is a specific habit consciously formed and maintained, graciously provided by God, not for its own sake, but so that we would be changed. Last week, we looked at how scripture can be used as a discipline, and today we're going to look at prayer. Now, there is no end to the sermons and lessons that could be given on prayer. We could talk about what prayer is. We could talk about what prayer is for. We could talk about how to pray. We could talk about why prayer works. We could talk about why it sometimes seems that prayer doesn't work. We could go on and on about all the different things that are related to prayer. But this is not a sermon all about prayer, and it's not even about prayer in general, okay? This is a very specific topic. Today we're talking about how we consciously form a habit of prayer, trusting that God will use it to change us and make us more like Jesus. And I want to start from what you might think is an unusual place, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is explaining why the law of Moses was unable to change people. And after making that point, he says in verse 16, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into the likeness, into His likeness, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, there are lots of details that could be interesting in that passage. It's one that you can do a lot of work unpacking everything. But the basic assertion is that when we stand in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus is, according to Hebrews 1, the radiance of the glory of God, when we stand in the presence of Jesus, we stand in the presence of the glory of God. And His glory, this verse says, changes us. Being in the presence of His glory changes us to actually line up more and more with His own glory. Being in the presence of Jesus, who is glorified humanity, we become what we're supposed to be. And this is one of the most wonderful verses about the possibility of our actually changing, of us actually becoming what it is we're supposed to be, of our actually transcending the brokenness that we find within ourselves. So, what does that passage have to do with prayer? Well, I believe that prayer basically equals being in the presence of God. Okay? We often think of prayer as talking to God, but I think it's really better to think of it as terms of being in the presence of God. And I don't mean that when we go through the motions of prayer, we're automatically in God's presence, because I think that a lot of people can go through the motions of saying prayers, and there can be little to no spiritual reality going on at all. What I do mean when I say that prayer basically equals being in the presence of God is that as soon as you turn your inward eye to seek God's presence, you've already begun to pray. Okay? God is always there. You can't find a place in the universe where God is not present. But when we are not aware of Him, if we're not looking for Him, if we're not opening ourselves to Him, it's as though He isn't. He is there, but it's like we're not there to Him. And as soon as we turn our heart's attention to Him, as soon as we open ourselves to His presence, then He becomes present to us. And I think that that's really a good description of what prayer is supposed to be. As I said, we often think of prayer as talking with God, but the heart, the core of prayer is really being with God. And when we are with God, we usually talk to Him, because that's what we're like. As people, we're communicative beings. We're made to share what's going on with others. And you put people together and they talk. And in the same way, when we enter into the presence of God, I mean, sometimes we may stay silent. We may just commune or just enjoy His presence. But sooner or later, you start talking to Him. Now, as I said, there's a ton more that we could say about prayer. But the point that I want to make today, kind of in this series about the disciplines, is that when we consciously form a habit of being present to God, He promises to be there, and He promises to use that to change us into His likeness. So then, if we're talking about forming a habit of prayer, what does a habit of prayer look like? And often, when we think about prayer, we think of it as something that pulls us away from the rest of life. But today I want to think about it as something that we bring into all the rest of life. So here's a little bit of my own experience, which may or may not line up with your experience. Whenever the topic of prayer comes up, I usually feel guilty. And when I've said that in a room full of people, I often see heads nodding, so somebody knows what I mean. In my early days as a Christian, as a young adult, I had a robust diet of reading stories and biographies about people like E.M. Bounds, people like John Hyde. You may have heard of John Hyde. He was known as Praying Hyde. He spent hours every day alone in prayer, and the power just flowed through him in his prayers and in his the rest of his ministry. E.M. Bounds was well known that he got up at 4 a.m. every morning, and if you were staying in his house, you got up too. And he would lead prayers for a half hour or so, and everybody else would go back to bed, and he would stay in prayer until about 7. And he did that most every day for most of his life. So, reading all that kind of stuff, no one ever told me this explicitly, but not surprisingly, I got the message that a life of prayer meant pulling away from every other thing and spending more and more time locked away in your prayer closet, that place where you go so that you're not interrupted until the floorboards under your knees get worn away from the hours kneeling there. And if that's your understanding of what a life of prayer is supposed to look like, then you can just imagine the guilt you feel whenever the topic of prayer comes up. Because not many of us can really do that. Now, I still believe that there need to be times in our lives, there need to be regular times when we do pull away from all the distractions and give time to focused, uninterrupted prayer. But maybe the disciplined habit of prayer can also be just doing all the same stuff you already do, only prayerfully. And instead of feeling guilty that I don't pray from 4 to 7 every morning, I've actually been consciously trying lately to just take stock of all the times and places that I do pray in the course of the day. And just instead of beating myself that I didn't spend 3 hours first thing in the morning, I stop and think, okay, well, did I pray today? Well, in the morning when I pick up my Bible, I always briefly ask the Lord to help me to listen to Him and to be changed by what I read. Before meals, either with or without the family, I always pause to thank God for all His goodness and His faithfulness, in part represented by the food that's in front of me. When I start each workday in my study, like this morning, today, I always spend sometimes just a few minutes, often a good deal longer, praying about what the church needs, praying about what the people of the church are facing, including working through our directory, praying for individuals. As people email me or call me through the course of the day with situations that they're facing, I pause and I pray for them, either together on the phone or as soon as I put it down. As I move from one task to another in the course of my work, I frequently pause and ask God to bless the things that I'm doing, that my work would be the means for Him to do His work, and that He would use it to make it fruitful for His will and His kingdom. Then back at home, we again pray before dinner, and Esme and I always pray together, last thing before we turn out the lights in the evening. Now, if my idea of a prayer life is hours wrestling with God alone, then all of that prayer in the course of the day that I just ran through, it all seems trivial. It all seems brief and superficial. It all seems insignificant. It's not real prayer. That's the way I used to think. But it is real prayer. And especially is real prayer if it's genuine turning of our attention to God to seek His presence and recognize that He's with us. So I want to encourage everyone, as we talk about consciously forming and maintaining a habit of prayer, don't immediately think of carving bigger and bigger chunks of time out of your already overloaded day and then feeling guilty when you don't think you can do that. Instead, take a few minutes, maybe right now even pause this recording, right? Take a few minutes and just notice all the times in the course of your typical busy day when you do pray, even if it's very brief. And hopefully, you may be pretty encouraged that you are praying. Now, as we think about how we can continue on as disciples, as we think about how we can seek to use prayer more and more as a means of being in the presence of God so that His glory changes us progressively into the image of Jesus, I want to encourage you to see your next step not as pulling back from daily life to spend more time in the prayer closet, but to see your next step as just building on all those little moments of prayer that are already scattered through your day. I want to suggest that when you think about consciously forming a habit of prayer, that you focus on bringing more and more prayer into all of those places where you are each day, all of those things that you do in your busy day. Instead of thinking about what you can stop doing in order to pray more, I would love to see us thinking how to make prayer part of everything, all that stuff that you have to go out and do each day. For instance, you spend a lot of time in the car. So, do your driving prayerfully aware that God is there with you. You spend a lot of time in meetings. Well, God is there. Just don't forget about Him. Let Him sit there with you. Let Him be in the meeting, processing and responding to everything together with Him. As you bump into difficult problems or puzzles in your professional life, you bump into things that you can't quite solve or figure out, you know, consciously form the habit of talking it through with the one who understands it all and actually wants to use your work as the means to do His work. Now, when we think about a habit of prayer, that starts to sound doable. That seems like something that we might be able to manage, okay? But then some people might think, can something so simple, so unheroic, as just going through your day, prayerfully aware of God's presence, can that actually change us and make us more like Jesus? Well, no, it can't, and yes, it can. No, it can't in the fact that these disciplines, they don't actually change us at all. But yes, it can, because while it's not what we do or anything that we can do that changes us, God has promised to show up in these things and use them. God and God alone is still the one that changes us. And if the disciplines seem like simple thing, it's simply because He doesn't need us to be heroic. He is the hero. He knows we are dust and does not ask us to climb Everest in order to prove that we're worthy or to earn some sort of transformation. He just gives us simple things that we can actually handle, simple things that we can do so that we simply have the opportunity to be with Him as He does the real work of changing us. He uses the things that we think of as simple to do the things that can't be accomplished by the greatest human achievements. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray continually. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, or in all situations, or at every moment. Philippians 4:6 tells us to deal with everything, every worry, every anxiety, every problem, by meeting it with prayer and petitions with thanksgiving. Romans 12:12, when it says, be devoted to prayer, it uses a word that means to be busily engaged with prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. Now remember, the man who wrote all of those verses, the Apostle Paul, he was a very, very busy guy. He was traveling all over the world. He was preaching and teaching continuously, meeting constantly with people. We sometimes forget about this, but he mentions in his letters that he spent day and night going from house to house to house, meeting with people, praying with them, talking through their lives and how God's gospel applied to them. And most of the time, he was simultaneously supporting himself with physical work, making tents. Okay? You get an idea of Paul's daily life. When he says pray continually, he's not talking about 4 hours a day secluded. But as Paul was doing all of those things he was doing, he was aware of God's presence. He was doing it all together with God. He was doing it prayerfully. God's vision for your life is to make you like Jesus. You know, and that's a truth that repeat that to yourself until you really believe it. Because, you know what, that is an amazing, mind-blowing thing. That what God wants your life to be, look at Jesus, okay? And first and foremost, God wants that because it's going to be a blessing to you, right? If your life lines up with the life of Jesus, you are going to be a blessed person. God wants our lives to be transformed into the image of Jesus because that's good for us. But secondly, God wants our lives to be like Jesus so that people around us would see what it is that God wants to do for people. A lot of people don't trust God. They can't open up their hearts and give themselves to him because they think, what's he going to do with me? You don't trust someone you don't know. And when we allow our lives to be transformed by God, people around us see what it is that God wants to do. They see how good it is. They see how faithful God is. And then third, God wants your life to be like the life of Jesus so that he can do his work through you, just as he did his work through Jesus. Do you want to be changed? Right? That's a good, straightforward question. Do you want every week and every month to be made a little bit more like Jesus? Only God can do that. But because he wants you to join him and be with him as he does that, he has given you prayer as a discipline for you to cultivate as a habit and learn the practice of being with God and doing your day together with him. And in that, he has given you the opportunity to enter into his presence, where he promises that his glory will change you. Amen.